Toronto area is one of the most multicultural places on earth. Toronto is the world within a city. With her open borders, Canada has become a melting pot of the world. Over half the population of Toronto was born in other countries. This is an opportunity to reach the world with the gospel. Though Canada has her problems, though the economy is struggling and the cost of living is soaring, we choose to see the potential, not the problems. We choose to look at the opportunities rather than the opposition. We choose to focus on the open doors and open hearts for the gospel. So many immigrants and refugees are looking for something real. People are searching for truth, and we have what they need. So we have a reason to remain faithful, a purpose for being here in Toronto, rather than looking for some easier place. We will live for God's glory. We will continue the mission. We will preach the gospel. We will be involved daily in biblical soul winning and discipleship. We will seek to start and strengthen more churches. We will seek to train others to serve the Lord. We will try to influence our children and the next generation to love God with all their heart. We will live contentedly and give generously. We know the privilege and the blessings of serving the Lord. God is so good and faithful and gracious. We've been married since June 1999. After a two-year internship and traveling on deputation, we've been in Toronto since February 2003. We have no plans of leaving or changing. Ministry in Toronto is not easy, but it is amazing. We're looking for New Testament church pioneers, men who will hazard their lives for Christ's sake and the gospel's. We're looking for partners in ministry who will venture their life in prayer and courage with bold faith and hard work to be used of God to make a difference for eternity. Do you want your life to count for Jesus? Could God be calling you to co-labor with us? Jesus never sent out his disciples alone. Toronto is a ripe harvest field. The fields are white, and the time to reap is now. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." Would you pray for laborers? Would you consider joining us? Do you know you've been called of God to stay in America? Or would you obey the command of Christ to go into all the world? The field is the world. Would you please pray for our family and partner with our ministry financially to help reach more people with the gospel?
Turn to John chapter 4 and verse 35. John chapter 4 and verse 35, and keep your finger there and also look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I think on Sunday night I mentioned the Iranian lady in our church that was dragged out into the street, nearly beaten to death. She sent me an email in the middle of the night. Said, "Pastor Johnston, don't let Christians in churches just pray for Iran. Will they do something?" She sent me about a 250-word essay. "Please don't just be a bunch of Christians that are just going to pray for Iran. Do something for Iran. Do something for the people." Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, and we'll look there at verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. The Bible says in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Listen, the need of the world is so great. Millions of people and so few laborers trying to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How will they hear? Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35. John 4 and verse 35. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, let's pray. And can you ask God to speak to your heart today? You pray for the people of this world that need to hear. Can you answer the prayer request of Jesus? Can you pray what Jesus told us to pray? That God would call and send forth laborers into the harvest. Ask God to speak to you today. Father, we need you. Please speak to us. Holy Spirit of God, please convict me. Please convict us. Help us to see the need of the world. Help us to see the urgency. The emergency, the need for urgency, Lord, just help us, God, I pray. Amen. I want to preach to you about emergency. 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 Christ said to the disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Luke 10 tells us that the harvest is great. The fields are ready to be harvested, and there's a big job that needs to be done, and there's so few laborers. We need workers in the field. We need workers in Canada and every nation on earth. We need laborers to come to the Toronto area. This world is needy for workers. We need Christians to get busy. We need God's people to gather the harvest. We need Christians who will lift up their eyes, open up their eyes, and look beyond themselves to a world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Christians that will look on the fields that are white already unto harvest. We need Christians who will open up their eyes and see people the way that God sees people. We need Christians to lift up their eyes and see the eternal souls of men and women and boys and girls that could die without Christ. Be lost forever. One day be cast into the lake of fire. We need Christians to see that their co-workers and their neighbors and their relatives and their friends have a never-dying soul that will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. John 4 and verse 35 is telling us that we should not say, it's okay. There's still 4 months. There's still time. There's lots of time. It's no rush. It's not important today. There's time to worry about the harvest later. Christ was telling them, you don't have time to wait. There's no time to delay. You don't have time to put it off. The Bible refers to reaching people with the gospel as being a spiritual harvest. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There are souls that God wants to be saved. There's a harvest that God wants to reap. Jesus said to the disciples in John 4 and verse 35 that the fields were white already unto harvest. I want you to understand something. That doesn't mean that, oh, now the harvest is finally ready. No, that means it's past time that the harvest should have been gathered. When you see those pictures of nice fields of golden grain, oh, it's ready to be harvested. But if you get grain that starts to turn white, that's a good indicator that it is very soon going to fall off that stalk, fall to the ground, and die. The fields are white already unto harvest. It's past time that it should have been harvested, but there is still time. There is still time to gather the harvest. It's not too late. And we need an urgency about us to see what an emergency this is, that we get busy about gathering the harvest. Christ wanted them to realize it's an emergency, realize that it was urgent, realize that it was important. Every day that was wasted, some of the harvest was lost. Every day that they delayed, more of the harvest would fall to the ground and die. Every week they sat back and did nothing. Every year they put off what God wanted them to do, listen, more of the harvest would die. The souls of men and women and boys and girls are important to God. Every week that we sit at home and do nothing, people die without a Savior. Every week that we don't go soul winning, people die without Christ. Every week that we refuse to give to send missionaries around the world, people die without ever having heard the gospel. Christ was telling the disciples that the situation in that day was an emergency. It was an emergency. The siren should have been sounding. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. The situation in the world today is still an emergency. Over 8 billion people in the world, over half of them have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Probably over 6,500 different languages or dialects in the world. Perhaps close to 4,500 of them not having the Bible in their language. I want to answer two questions for us today. Number one, why is it an emergency? Why is it an emergency? Number two, does it really matter? The first question, why is it an emergency? Number one, it's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. Listen, if the King of England was coming to Canada, people would get ready. They would get prepared. If the President of the United States was making a visit to Crown Point, Indiana, I think people would get prepared. Because somebody important is coming. Listen, Jesus Christ is coming, and we better get busy preparing for the King who is coming. John 9, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But he's no longer in the world, is he? And we are supposed to be the reflections of his light in this world. And we've got to be busy doing the work that God has given us to do. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you, Jesus said. Jesus Christ could come again at any time, and we must be busy doing the work of the Lord. We must realize it's an emergency. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. Matthew 24, 44 says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Listen, he could come at any time, and we need to be busy spreading the gospel until Christ returns. Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. Number two, it's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. Our world is headed in the wrong direction. Sadly, people are not getting closer to God. It seems like many are getting farther away from God. There's always more materialism, humanism, atheism, sin, apathy amongst Christians. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verses 4 and 5 goes on and says that people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. If that doesn't describe our world today, I don't know what does. Listen, the world is headed in the wrong direction, and they need the Lord. They need the Word of God. They need truth. We have a world that is full of sin, and we have Christians that are full of the world. Students of Hiles Anderson College, we're supposed to be different from the world. We are supposed to be a shining light in a dark world. Our lives are supposed to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We live in a generation where people love pleasure more than they love God. People would rather do what they want to do than do what God wants them to do. Christians would rather fit in with the world than to fit in with the Bible. Christian people so often reject what the Bible teaches about different things because I just want to do what I want to do. Christians will go places where they want to go without any concern for their testimony. Why? Because we don't fear God like we should. We have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Christians will put things into their body without any thought to what the Bible says about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because we don't fear God like we should. Our world is headed in the wrong direction, and much of Christianity is headed in the wrong direction. We need an old-fashioned generation of Christians that will fear God and keep His commandments. We need some people that will be more interested in pleasing God than in pleasing men. We need some Christians that will say, though I may live in this world, I am not going to live of this world. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. We need Christians that will measure their life according to Bible standards rather than the world's standards. We have an emergency on our hands. We have an emergency. The world is dying without Christ. What are we going to do about it? I said it's an emergency because we're headed in the wrong direction. Many churches are not doing more for God than what they used to do. They're doing less. Many churches are not doing more for world missions. They're doing less. Many are not doing more to evangelize the world. They're doing less. Thank God First Baptist doesn't seem to be like that right now. Many Christians are not taking a greater stand for Christ. They're standing less. Many churches are not adding more soul winning programs. They're doing less. We got to beg and plead with people or give them donuts to show up for Super Saturday soul winnings, don't we? That's become so popular in America, and I'm not against it, please. Okay, I'm not criticizing. But boy, we got to beg and plead and hope that our church members will show up once a month for a Super Saturday soul winning. Man, we need a revival and a passion of the leaders so that the people will follow the leaders and have a passion for soul winning and discipleship. Listen, we have got to do more for Christ. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. We should not be doing less. We should be doing more. More for Christ. More for the lost. I pray to God that we'll have people that will realize it's an emergency. I pray that your church and this college will realize the condition of the world is an emergency. The situation of the world is an emergency. The world is lost and without hope. The world needs Jesus. And we have the answer. We have the truth that they need. We must be the light of the world. We must be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We must be soul winners. We must reach the world with the gospel. We must send missionaries. We must go to our cities and tell them about the Savior. We must do more for Christ. Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. It's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. Number three, it's an emergency because the need is so great. The need is so great. Over 8 billion people in the world. God has commanded us to spread the gospel to the world. God would not command us to do something impossible. It can be hard to fathom sometimes, right? Understand, 8 billion people or whatever, 8 point whatever. That's a number so big. But we can understand crowds of 5,000 or 7,000 or 20,000 or 50,000. Most of you, if not all of you, have sat in those crowds before. You understand that. But 8 billion people. We can all understand one person. We can all understand one person, can't we? You know what God wants us to do? And you've all heard it before. But God wants us to go with urgency to reach one person and win them to Christ, this devilish, wicked sinner. God wants him to hear the gospel and get saved. He wants him to be discipled with great passion. And then he wants us to go out the next year and go reach another person. And he wants us to win them to Christ and disciple them and invest our life into them. Hurry up. You're a resistant one, aren't you? All right. And then he wants us all to go and get another one and bring them to Christ and give them the gospel and disciple them and invest our lives in them to make a difference. And then he wants us to go and go get another one. Everybody go get another one. And you go get another one. And you quickly, you're going to be one to Christ and disciple. And you're all going to go find some other ones. Go find some other ones and you bring them. Come on, you bring her. She needs to be saved. Bring them. There you go. Go bring them. Bring them. You are being resistant to the gospel, aren't you? Come on now, go reach another one. Hurry, go reach another one. Everybody go reach another one. Win them to Christ, disciple them. Anish, go reach another one. You're satisfied that you just reached one? Come on, come on, go reach somebody. Go reach somebody. Amen. All right. You're doing a poor job. You can come be seated. Come be seated as quick as you can. Come be seated. I'm going to have to go to Crown College. All right. There you go. Everybody find your seat real quick. Listen, the need of this world is so great. The need of the world is an emergency. Do you understand it would not take long? The problem is we got too many people that are not doing it. We have known this for decades, right? You figure it all out, 34 years. It's still true today like it was true 20 years ago and 30, 40 years ago. 34 years, we could reach the world with the gospel if just every year we'd win somebody to Christ and disciple them, and both of them go out the next year. 2 becomes 4, becomes 8, becomes 16. 34 years. And we're still failing. I don't know. You realize the world can be won. I know it's easier said than done. I understand that. But it can be done. It can be done with God's power. It can be done with God's help. It's not impossible for God to do it if we will do what God wants us to do. Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. It's an emergency because the world is headed in the wrong direction. It's an emergency because the need of the world is so great. Number 4, it's an emergency because it is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of life and death. John chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 10:27-28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Revelation 21:8 says that the unbelieving shall have their part in lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Listen, it is a matter of life and death. It's life and death. You know, sometimes when those ambulances are going down the road, it really is a matter of life and death. Sometimes when those fire trucks are going down the road, it really is a matter of life and death. Will somebody be rescued or not? It's a life and death thing. We've got to be urgent. It's an emergency because it's a matter of life and death. People's eternal destiny is hanging in the balance. We need to realize it's an emergency. It's an emergency. We must get busy. We must be soul winners. We must be witnesses. We must support the church's outreach. We must have faith promise investing for world missions. Right? Faith promise investing for world missions. We can't put it off. We must not delay. The urgency of the emergency ought to produce fervency. The urgency of the emergency ought to produce fervency. We need to open our eyes and look beyond ourselves at a world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to lift up our eyes, open up our eyes, and see people the way that God sees people. They are souls that will die and spend eternity in either heaven or hell. We've got to reach them. Why is it an emergency that we reach the world with the gospel? It's an emergency because we could be the last generation of Christians before the rapture. It's an emergency because our world is headed in the wrong direction. It's an emergency because the need of the world is so great. It's an emergency because it is a matter of life and death. Some of you might say, "So it's an emergency. Who cares? Who cares?" I'll tell you who cares. God does. God does. Second question I told you I would answer is this. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Yes, it matters. It matters. It matters to God. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It matters to God. God loves them. God doesn't just love the Jewish people. God doesn't just love American people. He loves the souls of every person on planet Earth. He loves them. He doesn't want them to perish. He doesn't want them to die. He wants them to know the Savior. We need a heart and a passion to love them and to reach them. I was blessed and privileged to meet Stephen T. Served the Lord in the Middle East, served in Jordan, served in Iraq, gave his life as a martyr, betrayed by some people. Some people came and executed him. I have never in my life met a man who loved the Muslim people more than Stephen did. I was so blessed to hear him speak 3 times. And just his passion and love for the Muslim people of the world, so amazing. But you might not know the whole story about him. When 9/11 happened, he was filled with hate for the Muslim people. He wanted to join the military. He wanted to go to the Middle East, but he wanted to go to the Middle East to kill Muslims. He wanted to go to the Middle East to destroy Muslims. He hated Islam. He hated what they did to America. He wanted them dead. But God convicted him. God changed his heart. Never knew anybody that loved Muslim people more than he did. His two, Abby, Katie, Allie, Stephen Jr. I pray for those kids. I pray for his wife, Jocelyn. His two daughters went to Crown College, and then this year they're actually both in the University of Tennessee. One of them is studying Arabic languages. The other one is studying medicine and nursing and so on. Why? Because they want to go to the Arabic world and reach them with the gospel. I mean, the daughters of someone who was killed by Muslims in the Middle East, yeah. They have their daddy's love. They're awesome girls. If there's going to be no man brave enough to go with them, I bet you they'll go without. They love the world. Because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It matters to God. And it ought to matter to us. We ought to have a passion to get the gospel to this world. Does it matter? Yes, it matters. Yes, it matters. It matters because each soul is precious to God. Luke 15 says, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. What a thought, isn't it? There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. It's not just, well, the angels are singing again. No. There's joy in the presence of the angels. Do you know who the person is having the greatest celebration in heaven when somebody gets saved? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's up there hollering and shouting and rejoicing. Why? Because one more soul that he died for, that he shed his blood for, that he gave his life for, trusted in his sacrifice. It matters because each soul is precious to God. It matters to each one that you could reach. James 5:20 says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. There was a boy walking along the sandy beach of the seashore, and as he walked along, the boy was taking the starfish that were washed up onto the shore, and he was throwing them one by one back into the ocean so that they would not die. An old man saw what he was doing, and he said to the boy, son, you're never going to be able to save them all. The boy listened, but he just continued to pick up those starfish and throw them back into the ocean. Son, what are you doing? You can't save them all. But he just kept picking up those starfish and throwing them back. He looked back at the old man and he said, no, sir, I may not be able to save them all. But it made a difference to that one. It made a difference to that one. It matters to each one. One. 8 point whatever billion people. You and I can't reach them all. But can you reach one? Can you disciple one? Then can you reach another one? And disciple another one? Does it really matter what we do? Yes, because it matters to God. It matters because each soul is precious to God. And it matters to each one, each soul, each individual that we can reach with the gospel. As some Afghans do, this man came down through a certain pass into India to sell and to trade his goods. While in India, he became very sick and he was taken to a mission hospital. Here, for the first time in his life, he heard the story of Calvary in the empty tomb. He heard the redeeming message of salvation. He made a profession of faith, trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior. As he was about to leave, the doctor in charge inquired as to his plans, to which he said, "I'm going to go back to my village to tell my people what Christ has done for me and what he can do for them." Painfully aware of the high spiritual mortality amongst Muslims who returned to their own people, the doctor counseled with this new Christian and cautioned him about the opposition that he was sure to encounter. But the man said, "My Lord hung upon the cross with all of the sin of the world on his body. Surely he can give me the strength to bear the reproach of the few men who live in my village." And so he went back. He went back through the pass and up and across the mountains to his home. Because he was the son of a prominent family in the village, his first attempts to witness were met with a restrained opposition. "Allah is one God. Allah is one God," the local leader told him. "And he never had a son." This is the crossroads at which the division between Islam and Christianity begins. The young man continued his witness for Christ. His people threatened him. If he continued his talking, they would stop him. But he continued. So they laid their hands on him. And they tied him to the ground. And they poured hot oil through his teeth, searing his throat so that he lost his voice. But he did not die. When he was strong enough, he made the long trip back to the mission hospital in India once more. And the doctor was able to bring back his voice to just a whisper. He could only whisper. "It's all we can do," the doctor regretfully informed him. "You'll never be able to speak normally again. You'll only be able to whisper." Jesus. And he did. He returned to his village and he was never seen again by the people at the hospital. Sometime later, the report came of his martyrdom. It was said to have happened when he repeatedly refused to keep silent and his own brothers nailed him to a cross in the heart of their village. They left him to hang there until he was dead. Listen, this world needs the gospel. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. Woo, 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 woo! It's an emergency. The sirens ought to be going. There needs to be an urgency. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. Does it matter to you? It should matter because it matters to God. Each soul is precious to God. There are people that need you to go and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people around the world that need you to give or to send a missionary or to go and preach the gospel to them. Why is it an emergency? It's an emergency because we can be the last generation of Christians for the rapture. It's an emergency because we're headed in the wrong direction. It's an emergency because the need of the world is so great. It's an emergency because it is a matter of life and death. Listen, we need to give. We need to pray. We need to go. We need to reach our communities. We need to reach our co-workers. We need to reach the cities and villages of this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be a witness, be a soul winner, disciple people, tithe and give and support missions programs to whatever church you're a part of. Let's do all that we can to reach one more person, 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 one more person with the gospel. Get involved in world missions. You better pray and figure out, what does God want me to do? Stay here or go? We're actually commanded to go, folks. We struggle over the call to go. I wish we'd struggle more over the call to stay. Because we are commanded to go. The need is great. The urgency, the urgency of the emergency ought to produce fervency. We stand together, bow our heads, close our eyes. Can you come and pray about what God wants you to do? Can you come and pray for the world? Can you come pray for the people of Iran? Can you come pray for the hundreds of thousands of people from India living in Brampton, Ontario? Can you come pray for the many tens of thousands of Persian people living in my part of Toronto? Can you come and pray for all the Chinese people, China and Hong Kong and different countries that brought up under communism, taught that there's no God, and they need to know there is a true and living God? Would you pray for the people of this world? Would you listen to God as He tries to speak to you? He just speaks in a still, small voice. The Holy Spirit tries to whisper to your heart. Listen, we need laborers. All of the missionaries at this conference would plead with you and beg with you. Listen, we need more missionaries in our country. The people of the world are crying out to you. Would somebody come and tell us the truth? We have no hope.